Hello, I'm Oliver Wong.
And I'm Morgan Rhodes. You're listening to Heat Rocks. Every episode, we invite a guest to join us to talk about a heat rock, you know, fire, combustibles, an album that burns eternally. And today, we'll be sliding on our red bottoms to step back to 2018 to discuss the debut LP of one Cardi B, Invasion of Privacy. I might just cut all the tongues like the sneakers. Snatch the TV from Best Buy. You gon' turn me in the left eye. Hear about invasion of privacy. I had a feeling it turns out you lied to me. I'm holding back everything that's inside of me. How you all fucking with bitches that follow me? My heart is beating like it's bleeding. America loves a comeback, but does it love a come up? Well, that depends, because America. Me, I love to see it. I love one old reversal of fortune, hood to Hollywood, moving on up to the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky high type story. If you followed the career of Cardi B for the last 6 years, you've seen one of the most epic come-ups in music history. A massive following built on Vine, rest in peace, and Instagram that segued into a star turn on Love & Hip Hop New York, where she quickly became the one to watch. After that, there were guest appearances with Jeezy, Bruno Mars, Drum, a mixtape, Bags. Early on, most of us could clearly see her charisma, her chutzpah, her comedy, but maybe we didn't see her range, or maybe she was holding back all that talent, saving it for the summer of 2017, and a heater called Bodak Yellow. That summer jam was everywhere, a teaser for perhaps the biggest release the following year, Atlantic Records' Invasion of Privacy. Suffice it to say, on her debut studio album, Cardi B came through dripping. She didn't sound like an artist who had something to prove. She sounded like an artist who had something to say about what the game is like, what the fame is like, what the journey's been like, what haters sound like. And she handled all of that with precision. Hot beats, a compelling flow, and New York. As my friend Glaze used to say, you are your coast. And no discussion of Cardi B or this album is complete without talking about the New Yorkness of it all. Invasion of Privacy has that authority, that ruggedness, that je ne sais quoi. Not surprising from a woman who has said, quote, I have 100% Bronx pride, like it's a country, like I am the Bronx, end quote. This album is a heat rock, well planned, well executed, no frivolity. It's got features and bars and lavishness and clapbacks. It's got standouts like Bartier Cardi and Bickenhead. It's got Latin Boogaloo and Miss Hill and R&B. This is not Cardi B shooting her shot. It's Cardi B staking her claim to some things. Like records, Bodak Yellow is the highest certified single ever by a woman rapper with over 200 million streams. Like Cred, Rolling Stone listed it as one of the greatest albums of the decade. And like Trinkets, Invasion of Privacy won Best Rap Album, a Grammy, making our girl the first woman to ever receive that award. Invasion of Privacy is a lot of things, but mostly it's a 13-track inside scoop about a woman who went from a wish list to A-list. A woman who asks great questions like, why should I hop in some beef when I could just hop in a Porsche? A woman who stunted on the 15 minutes some thought she had and made it several hours. You can call it lucky, a flex, or karma. Just don't call it a comeback. Invasion of Privacy is a come up. I gotta stay out of Gucci. I'm finna run out of hangers. Is she a stripper, a rapper, a singer? I'm busting blacks in a belly, my tigger. Right through your hood like bitch, I'm the mayor. You not my bitch, then bitch, you indicted. Came through drippin', drip, drip. Came through drippin', drip, drip. Came through drippin'.
Invasion of Privacy was the album pick of our guest today, hip-hop archivist, collector, and curator, Syreeta Gates. Earlier this year, I was watching The Booksellers, the new documentary about rare book dealers in New York, and Syreeta appeared talking about the Gates Preserve Archive, her collection of hip-hop-related magazines and other paper goods. And my first thought was, wow, that's amazing. And my second thought was, wait, how have we never crossed paths before? So I immediately rectified that situation by inviting her onto the show. I have a soft spot for archivists. I'm married to one, but as a researcher and journalist, I also deeply understand the value of something like the Gates Preserve, least of all when it comes to hip-hop. We all know the music and culture's contributions to the world, but that importance doesn't always translate to the archives world. This is precisely what makes Gates such an important face and force in the archival, art, and collector worlds. She's currently at work on a new documentary herself, Right On, The Legend of Hip Hop's Inkslingers, love that title, which is all about a topic that is near and dear to my heart, the history of hip hop's writers and journalists. Very exciting. Sarita Gates, welcome to Heat Rocks.
Thank you. Thank you for saying yes. Thank you for reaching out. Thank you for doing the work so that, you know, it's easy for me to say yes. Appreciate y'all.
As someone who's interested in hip hop history, I mean, you, both of us here, but for you in particular, I would not have at all been surprised if you had chosen an older album to talk about, but instead you went with something that's very contemporary, which is Cardi B and her debut LP. Why Cardi and why this album?
I mean, Cardi is like your favorite cousin that you see like two or three times a year. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's the one, she's the big cousin you look up to. She might have done some problematic things, but it all works out in the end. She is very transparent about the wins and the flaws. You've seen her like rise to success in such a way that it makes you feel like you too have risen to success. And, you know, I feel like, you know, Cardi is up right now. Cardi is also very much so a combination of a lot of women in hip hop, right? Like, you can't talk about Cardi without talking about Little Kim, without talking about Nicki, et cetera, et cetera. And more importantly for me, she acknowledges those things, those aspects, right? Like, Cardi is, in my particular worldview, Cardi is very big on gratitude. And I love that. I think that is like the one of the illest things of Cardi B of all time. And so that is like one aspect that made me choose Invasion of Privacy. So here we are.
What was your introduction to Cardi? Had you been following her as far back as the reality show Love and Hip Hop?
Not really. My introduction was really like Bodak Yellow. Like, I feel like she came through. So I'm from Southside Jamaica, Queens. She came through to me in a very similar fashion that 50 Cent came through, right? Like, 50, it was like, oh, I'm going to control everything all the time. And I don't know if it was like where radio was at during that time, where streaming was at during that time, but it's like you couldn't get away from Cardi. So it's kind of like you had to get with it or get lost. And so because of all of those things that I had previously mentioned, which, you know, are the things that I admire about Cardi, the things that I appreciate about her, it was like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely Team Cardi. I'm on this train. I'm with it.
Yeah. Morgan, how about you?
Well, you know, I always say confession is good for the soul, so I'm not going to lie. I did watch Love and Hip Hop season 6 and 7, and I became a fan, like, instantly. And for all the reasons that Sis just said, reasons to love Cardi B. She was funny. And I personally thought that she made the show. I couldn't have predicted, you know, sometimes I think too small. So I couldn't have predicted this sort of meteoric rise. But when it happened for her, I just was so happy. I was like, yes.
We did it, baby.
She's the one. She's the one. So yeah, Love and Hip Hop, period.
I'm more like Sarita, which I never watched the show, so I was a bit relative to her come up timeline. I was a little bit late coming to her. It really wasn't until Bodak Yellow for me as well, that song blowing up. And of course, my first question was, what the fuck is Bodak Yellow?
I'm the hottest in the street. No, you probably heard of me. Got a bag and fix my teeth. Hope you hoes know it ain't cheap. And I pay my mama bills. I ain't got no time to chill. Think these hoes be mad at me. They baby father run a bill. They little bitch.
I think what really struck me with that song in particular, especially the pace of it, is just her enunciation, because she has this very deliberate, very clipped flow that I think works, as you can hear on that song, it works really well with trap beats, which of course she does a lot in her production, but it certainly works with other styles of production. And to be honest, in terms of my confession, I'd never listened to the entirety of Invasion of Privacy. I knew the hit singles, but I never sat with the album until prepping for today. And what was impressive to me was her ability to work with a lot of different styles, so that her album is not just Bodak Yellow times 16, but rather you get actually a whole diversity of feels, of pacing, of energy levels. And Cardi is versatile enough as an MC to be able to work in all of these different kinds of spaces, if you will.
I agree with that. And what I liked about Bodak Yellow was that it was just so gully. It was so authoritative. If you heard her voice on the show, I mean, she could go from like real gully to sort of like a kid's voice. And what I liked about this was just, it just was just authoritative. It was just swag. And Bloody Shoes is aspirational. I didn't get a pair until 2019, but I was inspired and also empowered by this song. And I want to shout out Anita Baker, because I got my red bottoms in Vegas after seeing the show. So shout out to both Cardi and Anita Baker for making this moment happen for me. And shout out to Bodak Yellow for being the inspiration. You know what I mean? Everybody needs a superhero track. And for me, as soon as I got those red bottoms, I was like, I've got to bump Bodak Yellow for the culture. So I appreciate Cardi B for a myriad of reasons we'll get into, but most of all for making that purchase so historical for me.
I just want to quickly recognize The Game, because I believe the first time I heard any reference to Christian Louboutins was on his song Holy Water. And I don't even remember how far back that song goes now. But he was just saying how, you know, even my shoes are Christian, right? That was his. I don't think he referenced the red bottoms, but he did reference like Christian Louboutin. So I feel like for like the last 10 years, that has replaced what used to be, you know, the ways in which the older ones among us might have been introduced to Gucci back in the day. Like the new generation, Gen Z, gets introduced to like Louboutin is the shoe of choice for the young folks, I guess. Young folks with a lot of money. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
Yep.
Let's go with that. Or rich parents.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. One of the two. There you go.
Say, little bitch, you can fuck with me if you wanted to. These expensive. These is red bottoms. These is bloody shoes. Hit the school. I can get them both. I don't want to choose. And I'm quick. Cut a nigga off, so don't get comfortable. Look. I don't dance. No.
Last year, Rob Haskell covered Cardi B for Vogue. And she was photographed by Annie Leibovitz. Beautiful photo, actually, with her and her baby, her and Culture on the front. And the tagline was Cardi B, unfiltered, unapologetic, unbowed. And what I find so irresistible about Cardi B, both on the show and now, is her transparency. And I think you get that from start to finish. It's straight, no chaser. What you see is what you get. And she's kept it real, as you were saying, Sarita, from beginning to end, especially on the opening track to Invasion of Privacy, which is Get Up 10.
I got it in shoes. I was covered in dollars. Now I'm dripping in jewels. A bitch played with my money, might as well spit in my food. Bitches hating my guts. Now they swear it was cool. Went from making tuna sandwiches to making the news. I started speaking my mind and tripping my views. Real bitch. Only thing fake is the boobs. Get money, go hard. Motherfucking right.
I like how she says about herself that she's a little bit of Big Pop and a little bit of Tupac. And this song reminds me a lot of Juicy, of Biggie just saying, you know, it was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine, sort of talking about his humble beginnings. And it's, to me, it's the same philosophy. It's the same sort of rags to riches story. It's the same entrepreneurial spirit. I just love, I love that. Why do you think Cardi B, beyond the reasons that we said, why do you think she's so charismatic and exactly who we need for this time and culture?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's been like a narrative specifically around like girls from the quote unquote hood, right? Like they have to be one particular way, that they might be loud, that they might be gaudy just as far as what they wear. They might be over the top just as far as their charisma, et cetera, et cetera. And yes, we are all of those things, and we are the greatest to ever come around here. So while that is also true, I think Cardi is very much so a reflection, and you hear it from the first song on her track. It's like, here are the struggles, and, you know, Jay-Z has this line like, back against the wall, guess who ain't going crack? Pardon me, I had to laugh at that. That is literally what Cardi is saying on her opening track. Like, if you don't get it now, like, yes, there were some struggles. Yes, she's talking about her teeth. Yes, she's talking about stripping at the club. She's talking about all of these, some might call them struggles. Some might call them, you know, obstacles just to move through or move around with. But at the end of the day, you know she's going to win because, like, her commitment to the end result, right? Like, and though she might not know what the end result is, the commitment to it is kind of like the journey that you have to appreciate. Like, anybody that's hustling in whatever capacity, whether you are a founder, whether you are a college student, whether you don't know what you want to do and you are not in college, or you don't have a job and you're trying to figure it out, like, the hustle is undeniable. And I think what we get on that first track on her album is the same things that make you love Jay-Z. It's the same things that make you love Big. It's the same things that make you love Nas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's very rare that we hear for a woman artist in hip hop in particular, to come through the gate with, like, here are all the flaws. Like, there's nothing that you can challenge me on because I'm acknowledging them from the jump. It kind of reminds me of, like, what Oprah does, right? Oprah was like, yo, check this out. This is my weight. I struggle with it. Here's what it is. And still, you get the opportunity to participate with me on that journey. It's the exact same thing that Cardi did. And so, I mean, yeah, you got to love it. It's literally the American dream that people talk about.
100%. And also, she's kept it real about, now that I have money, it is more money, more problems, because I'm going to tell you how gully this life is once you have money. And I'll tell you what the backlash has been. I'll tell you how people start talking and stuff, which she does on Best Life with Chance the Rapper, how she gets into how things have changed, right?
I said I never had a problem, showing y'all the real me. Hair when it's fucked up, crib when it's filthy. Way before the deal me, strip to pay the bills me. Before I fix my teeth, man, those comments used to kill me. But never did I change, never been ashamed. Never did I switch, stories stay the same. I did this on my own, I made this a lane. Y'all gotta bear with me, I've been through some things. Went for
small, straight, no chaser. And so, every time I see her, I just, my admiration for her grows in leaps and bounds, particularly because I love the truth. I love that she walks in it in its purity and in its ugliness. That's just what you're going to get from Cardi. I wouldn't expect any less. And I think that's why she's got the following that she does. And that's why she's bodying this time.
And it's like, you want Cardi to win, right? Like, you want,
100%.
You know, people can say what they want, you know, shout out to the WAP song with her and Meg that they just dropped 4 seconds ago. Like, people can say what they want, but you genuinely want Cardi to win. Cardi is like a champion. Cardi is the quintessential, like, David and Goliath story. Like, Goliath being like hip hop and David being Cardi, right? It's like, time and time again, we've seen, you know, just the fact that we have to say, like, oh, a woman in hip hop, they don't say that about any of the guys, right? Right? So the fact that we have to say that, and time again, she's kind of like bodied it, not kind of, she's bodied it, period. Like all of the people who need to know her name knows her. She comes, she represents not only for herself, but more importantly for the other women that are like riding with her, right? Like, whether they've been in the game longer than her, whether they've been in the game for a least amount of time. Like, Cardi is like, come, like, if you don't like Cardi, I'm just low key judging you. Like, come on.
Right.
I was in the field, man, I slayed for this. Had to talk to God, drop down and pray for this. To my surprise, he replied, say you made for this. I seen the car wanted, then I went and paid for it. Cash, cash, hit the take care, hit the race, hit the dash, dash. That's when they came for me on
Twitter. I want to go to a larger question in a second, but I want to actually first cycle back to something that you actually began with, Sarita, which is about Cardi specifically as a New Yorker. And I mean, this is someone who is of Dominican and Trinidadian descent. And that to me says that is New York in a nutshell, because you can't talk about hip hop New York without acknowledging the West Indian part of it.
Yep.
And so I'm wondering, you know, we Morgan and I are based out in Los Angeles. We've only seen really Cardi through the lens of national media, but I'm curious in terms of, how does Cardi rank within sort of a New York hip hop world, which of course takes itself extremely seriously, and they have a very high bar for who they allow to be considered, even in the conversation, as you said a moment ago, amongst the greatest of all time. So how is Cardi received locally in New York?
Yeah, she's one of the greatest, period. Like her, like she, we're only going to get more prolific things from Cardi B, period. You know what I'm saying? As a native New Yorker, again, I said I'm from Southside Jamaica, Queens. Like I remember when 50 Cent's mixtapes were dropping on Jamaica Avenue. Like, you know what I'm saying? I remember like Smack DVD. Like I'm a quintessential New Yorker. And so, you know, when we see somebody like Cardi raise the fame, it's like, oh, we did, you know, we did it, baby. Like, we're here, you know what I'm saying? Because her rise, her struggle, we've seen it all. And it's a story that is very, it's extremely familiar. Like, Cardi's story is similar to, I mean, and not similar as far as the literal part, but Cardi's story is as quintessential as Sister Soulja's The Coldest Winter Ever. You don't get more of a New York story than The Coldest Winter Ever, right? Like, you don't get more of a New York story than Cardi B. Similar to, like, Jay. Similar to Big. Similar to, like, all of the greatest that... Similar to Nicki. You know what I'm saying? Similar to Kim. Similar to Remy. Similar to, you know, you could list all of the premier artists from New York. Cardi gives the same story, but I think her ability to articulate it, her ability to provide feeling in such a way is what makes Cardi different than a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? Like, when Cardi says, like, I got up 10, I was down 9, got up 10, you feel that shit. You be like, damn, that's a fact. Like facts, I feel that. Yes, I too, Cardi, have got up 9. I too, Cardi, have got up 10. You know what I'm saying? You feel it in such a way that it's like, yeah, like, she is me. Listen, I'm Cardi for the people. You heard it. If ain't nobody say it, you heard it here first. Cardi is for the people, period.
Came through drippin', drip. Came through drippin', drip. Came through drippin', drip. Diamonds on my wrist, they drippin'. Ice.
Came through drippin', drip. Came through drippin', drip. Came through drippin', drip. Diamonds on my wrist.
I want to just pull the scope back and go kind of big topic here for a moment, which is that women rappers have been certainly, of course, part of hip hop since its earliest days. But 40 years later, it still feels like that their status. I don't know if any of you have ever watched the fantasy series Highlander, but the tagline is there can only be one. And that seems to apply to sort of women in hip hop, which is that anytime there is a new female artist that enters the fray, the immediate impulse is to have to treat them as rivals to whoever is the current dominant person. And of course, we never do this with male MCs. And in Cardi's case, her rise by default was treated as a threat to Nicki Minaj's stature. And presumably, whoever the next big female MC is going to be will automatically be seen as a challenge to Cardi. And besides, you know, conquering misogyny and sexism, is there anything else that can get us out of this narrative where we can only ever have one female MC at a time that isn't always also in competition with whoever else is out there?
Nope. We got to conquer those two things you said. That's it. Those are the problems and patriarchy, because they don't say this, that there can only be one rapper from Compton.
Right.
They don't say, it's always like there can only be one. And I think there is this tendency to pit black women against each other. Mm. What's why I think Cardi debunks that is because, as Sarita says, she shouts out all of the G's that came before her. And that, to me, I think opens up things a little bit more. It hasn't been without problems. Okay. It hasn't been without problems because, you know, there's beefs and rumors of beef, but I think there is this tendency to say, to only allow one person to make it. And you don't see that with guys in hip hop. You just don't. There, as soon as she came out, there were all these comparisons.
Of course, right.
And that I didn't think were fair. And I saw a lot of that stuff on social media, and I saw a lot of that stuff come from men, no shade.
Yeah.
But I did see that. And I don't think that's fair. I think she should be able to develop her own style, her own personality, her own flow. Give respect to who came before her, but there shouldn't be a cap on who gets in this game. And she's inspired a generation of other young girls that are going to want to rap too. But I do think we can't get past this without getting past patriarchy, which is sort of a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I would
sort of an issue.
I would absolutely veggie back on that, and also, like, probably the realest things that I'm ever going to say is there's actually never just been one.
Right.
Right.
If you look at the map, like, yeah, there might have been like one dominating the charts. Trina has been cooking and working, period, nonstop for like 20 years. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Trina doesn't get enough credit. MC Light is like the voice of damn BET. Queen Latifah, like, there are people, there are women who are working, right? Like, we're not even talking about the ones behind. Little Kim just dropped an album. Like, let's not act like this thing didn't just happen. You know, yes, patriarchy, yes, all of these things. And, you know, it's kind of how hip-hop has been, like, set up, right? Like, there's it could only be, like, one woman. Like, imagine if we actually got the Thelma and Louise, Little Kim, Foxy album. What would be possible now? We don't know. Oh, but we're seeing it in some capacity, right? Like, I think WAP is a very clear statement of what is possible when the ladies are like, all right, we're not going to wait for dudes to tell us A, B, C, D, and E. And we've seen it before. We've seen it with ladies. Like, I think, let's talk about Ladies Night. I'm sorry, y'all. Ladies Night is one of the great, Not Tonight Remix, is one of the greatest joints in history. Let me tell you why. Lil Kim, The Brat, Angie Martinez, Left Eye, Missy Elliott. We're not even talking about the people who are actually not singing or rapping, right? We're not talking about like Mary J. Blige, Queen Latifah. Like, it was one of the greatest videos of all time. And ladies in that joint. So I think now we're actually seeing what that looks like. And Cardi actually happens to be at the like, I think her and Megan happen to be at the pillar of what is possible when you're like, you know what? Let them boys go do what they do. Yep. So, like, you know, these women are actually out here, like, reimagining the narrative in light of patriarchy, like, in light of racism. You see them pulling all of these other ladies up inside of patriarchy. And so, you know, like, yeah, trust black women.
Every day, baby. Every day. Every day. And watch the throne. Yeah. We might get a collaborative album and I'll be ready.
Yeah. I love you said that because I was just thinking in the back of my head listening to the two of you that we need a Watch the Thrones album that is, let's say, Cardi and SZA or Cardi and Megan or all three of them. I mean, that would be, there's no reason why that would not work from every angle that you could imagine. So, yeah.
Every angle.
I've even just been really excited about, I'm like, first of all, I think the WAP song is brilliant. So let me just say that on record, this is like outside of like my social channels, the first time I'm saying it. I think it's brilliant and it's necessary. And I'm like, who could get the remix capacity is nuts. Like if they put Kimberly Denise Jones on that record, I'm going to lose my mind. If they put City Girls on that record, I'm put Sweetie on a record, put SZA on a record, put Missy on a record. Like, there is an abundance. Put Trina on a record. Put Kai on a record. Put Rage on a record. Like, come on. Like, the abundance of women that they could put Mulatto on a record. Like, there's
Malibu Mitch. There's so many people you could put on the album right now.
We got a 20-minute ladies only talking shit, talking mad greasy, talking the craziest shit in your life, and it's the most phenomenal thing of all time. I'm here for it. And guess what? The guys are gonna love it. They're gonna literally eat it up. No pun. It was too good. It was too easy to do that.
Yana, I'm a freak bitch, handcuffs, leashes. Switch my wig, make him feel like he cheating. Put him on his knees, give him something to believe in. Never lost a fight, but I'm looking for a beat. In the food chain, I'm the one that eats you.
We will be back with more of our conversation with Sarita Gates about Cardi B's invasion of privacy. After a word from some of our sibling Max Fun podcasts, keep it locked.
Me and ask who's is it when I ride the dick, I'ma spell my name.
There's some hoes in this house. Yeah, you fucking with some wet ass pussy. Bring a bucket and a mop.
Hi, my name is Graham Clark, and I'm one half of the podcast Stop Podcasting Yourself, a show that we've recorded for many, many years. And at the moment, instead of being in person, we're recording remotely, and you wouldn't even notice. You don't even notice the lag.
That's right, Graham. And the great thing about this... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. And,
okay, go ahead.
And you can listen to us every week on MaximumFun.org.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your podcasts.
Judge John Hodgman ruled in my favor.
Judge John Hodgman ruled in my friend's favor.
Judge John Hodgman ruled in my favor.
I'm Judge John Hodgman. You're hearing the voices of real litigants, real people who have submitted disputes to my internet court at the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I hear their cases, I ask them questions, they're good ones, and then I tell them who's right and who's wrong.
Thanks to Judge John Hodgman's ruling, my dad has been forced to retire one of the worst dad jokes of all time.
Instead of cutting his own hair with a Flowbee, my husband has his hair cut professionally.
I have to join a community theater group.
And my wife has stopped bringing home wild animals.
It's the Judge John Hodgman podcast. Find it every Wednesday at MaximumFun.org or wherever you download podcasts.
Thanks, Judge John Hodgman.
And we are back on Heat Rocks talking Cardi B's invasion of privacy with our guest, archivist and curator, Sarita Gates.
Sarita, you collect hip-hop ephemera, and as someone who is a collector myself, I'm always curious to know two things anytime I meet another collector. Number one, and you probably have gotten some variation on this before, what is one of the most prized items in your collection? And number two, what is one of those holy grail items that you are still chasing?
Oh, there's like 9,000 holy grail items. the prized possession is actually like Zora Neale Hurston's Their Eyes Were Watching God. That's like, if all else fails in my life, I've done something right. But just as far as like holy grail, I mean, being a collector is actually the most frustrating thing in history. Like, I actually wouldn't wish it upon anyone, because it's like, it's never enough. Right? It's like, I have a first edition, blah, 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 blah. I have the only photo of, you know, I took one of the photos of, like, Young Guru and Jamel Shabazz. Like, what? Like, I thought I won. And then there's always something else. You know what I'm saying? So just as far as, like, holy grail items, I want the wardrobe from Puff and Biggs Hypnotize Me. I also want the entire wardrobe of All About the Benjamins, the Rock Edition. I also want I want the poster from A Great Day in Hip Hop, September 1998, where like everybody signed one particular poster. That was for XXL magazine. We'll be here. Well, I'll finish the show out just talking about what I would love to acquire in the Gates Preserve archive. Grab a Snicker. We'll be here all night.
good items all listed there. Well, let's bring things back to Cardi B, and let's bring it specifically back to the album Invasion of Privacy. And before
you go there, I just want to ask her a question.
Oh, please.
About her work. Because I know part of your work is bridging rap and food through Yo Stay Hungry. And I want to shout that out. And I also want to ask around that, which song on this album, speaking of food and hip hop, which would make the best appetizer? Which song would make the best appetizer?
Oh, I love this.
That is a crazy question that I don't. You're going to have me like start looking up lyrics right now.
Well, while you're thinking about that, Morgan, what to you makes for a good kind of appetizer song? Like, how do you translate the idea of a food appetizer into a musical concept?
I think it's the thing that, I think it's the song that gets, you know, that just tastes so good and makes you ready for the next. I see those appetizers, especially at these West Coast parties where they ain't serving nothing else. And so you have to fill up on appetizers. And the first one is usually
a little knap.
Right. And you're usually like, oh, this is great. So what's next? And so that's what I think. The song that you're just like, this was a great, like, starter. And I don't mean that starts the album, but the thing that makes you want the next thing.
Drip. Come through dripping, drip, drip. I think dripping would be interesting because I'm also thinking of, like, a lot of liquids that we could play with. Like, so you have honey, you have soy sauce, you have milk, you have all of the things that could drip and what that looks like just as far as, like, the curation of an item. Looking like a right swipe on Tinder. Shit on these hoes. Let up my wrist on these hoes. Now I look down on these bitches. I feel like I'm on stilts on these hoes. Fuck your baby daddy right now. And the maid got cake by the pound. Go down, eat it up, don't drown. Make the cheese in a bow, how it sound. I got that gushy. So that, I'm also thinking, like, Bickenhead. First of all, that's like one of my favorite tracks on the song. Yeah, so I'm just gonna throw that out there just because that's what I want. Get it from my mama, and you don't know where your daddy at. Knick knack, daddy whack, give a dog a bone.
Put it on him, big that nigga never coming home. Well, along those lines, and I guess I'm going to try to stretch this food metaphor perhaps further than it needs to go, but normally we ask what our guests, what they think the fire track is off this album, but maybe in this case, it would be the 3-star Michelin dish. Like, what is to you the one song off of here that you just get so hyped for every time it comes on?
Baconhead.
Yeah.
So ratchety. It's so wild, but it's like, this is actually going to sound crazy. One of my favorite songs in like elementary school is the 3-6 Mafia's Chickenhead. And so this is absolutely a rendition of that. And so I'm like, you can't deny it. It's just so good. It's so over the top. It's so obscene. You know what I'm saying? It's like you see how people really feel when something like Bickenhead comes on, right? Because it's no middle ground. Like, you know, Joan Morgan has this brilliant quote where she's like being brave enough to fuck with the grays, right? There's no gray with Bickenhead. Either you like it or you absolutely don't. Get you some guap guap, get some chicken guap guap, get some bread guap guap, get some chicken guap guap, get some bread. Get you press, you can flex, get some money, ho, tell me why you stress. I need that green shorty, show me where's that.
Morgan, how about for you?
Well, for me, there are a myriad of heaters on here, and if you know, going back to Confession being good for the soul, I have wavered. When this first came out, I couldn't get off dripping. Like, you couldn't get me off that. That was just the one that I kept going to. But in prep for the chat, I couldn't get off Bickenhead. Bickenhead is fire. I like how gully it is. I like the simplicity of the chorus. I like her flow. I like that it's sing-songy. I like the southern references, cornbread and neck bones. Can't get away from that. And I love any bar that includes knick-knack paddywhack. From EPMD on, anything that includes knick-knack paddywhack,
yes!
You got me.
Yes.
Right? So Bickenhead is it for me. It's just, you just make that face. It just...
Like the nasty, the gross face, the ugh.
That's it. That one is fire.
Well, anyone who knows me knows that I am a huge, huge fan of Latin Boogaloo. So it's not a mystery as to what my fire track off this album is going to be, which is, it's got to be I Like It. Right? Which, of course, borrows from the Pete Rodriguez, I believe, 1966 hit classic, I Like It Like That.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way that the song begins, this was almost my favorite moment. And I think it probably would have won my favorite moment if not for the fact that they drop in the drums a little too soon. I would have liked them to have played the chorus, the original Pete Rodriguez chorus, for at least like a full maybe 2 bars and then drop the beat. But nonetheless, I just like how this opens. I like stunning, I like shining, I like $1 million deals. Where's my pen? Bitch, I'm signing. Well, in terms of favorite moments, so that, like I said, the beginning of I Like It came close, but I think in the end, I went with the hook of Be Careful, which is a song that's already come up in discussion here. And I think part of it is number one, I just like hearing Cardi in a more chill, in a singing mode. And it's not like she has the world's best voice, but it's completely effective for what it needs to do in this moment. And second, I just love the fact that, like Drake did with Nice for What, she's bringing back Lauryn Hill's hook from X Factor. And again, you get that enunciation, that just the specificity in mm-hmm. how she uses her flow and just puts a little something on each syllable. I just love that. Yeah. Well, how about for either? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, because it's me, I'm going to have to hear that Drake that you reference. You knew.
That's a real one in your reflection. Without a follow, without a mention. You really piping up on these niggas. You gotta be nice for what to these niggas. I understand. You got a 100 bands. You got a baby bands. You got some bands.
Oh, I love that. Mm. Oh, it's so good. Morgan, how about your favorite moments?
I have two. Yeah. Mine is the same as yours. The moment that the beat drops in and I like it like that.
Yeah.
That trap with that boogaloo is just so gangster. I mean, that's just it. It's just, you know, you start out with, you know, with one speed of twerking, and then when the beat drops, then you take it to another twerk speed. Twerk speed is important. That could be another whole show. But quietly,
that is a podcast name just waiting to happen. I'm just saying right now.
Twerk speeds. Twerk speeds.
Yeah. Big facts. Yeah.
And I love her vocals on that, and also shouts to Pete Rodriguez for the OG. My second favorite is the Couture Countdown on She Bad.
Yeah.
I mean, Fendi, Prada, Louis, Birkin, these are a few of my favorite things. Every time I hear that, I'm like, you're going to have to music supervise a whole lot more to get all of these bags. But I'm fine. But yes, I love that. I love, love, love that part of She Bad. I love that song, and I love that part.
Sarita, how about you? Do you have any favorite moments on this album?
I like the idea of, obviously, like, Get Up 10, right? Like, I love that she can have a Get Up 10 and a Best Life on the same album. Similar to what you're referring to around, like, Big's first album, right? Like, you have a juicy ending. You have, like, all of these other moments on the album where it's like, yeah, shit is really crazy right now. You know what I'm saying? So I think that is also reflective of Cardi's Get Up 10 and Best Life. I think what's important is you don't have any track that allow you to feel regardless of what the feeling might be. And I think she does a phenomenal job at providing those things.
Can we take a moment to acknowledge Cardi's flow? Because I think when we talk about Cardi, that gets lost in the conversation a lot. And I want to ask, go around the room about favorite flows or favorite bars on here. And if I could go first, I'd like to say I think she's killing on Bartier Cardi. Cardi big brain on offset. Who got this motherfucker started? Card. Who took your bitch at the party? Card. I took your bitch in the party. Card. Who that be flags marching? Card. Who that don't freak in the cut? Card. Who got them freaks in the truck? Card. Then diamonds go hit like a bitch on a bitchy ass bitch. Bitch, you will wanna be caught. Red bottom MJ moonwalk on a bitch. Moonwalking through your clique. Not what I would have expected based on the aforementioned Love and Hip Hop. But for her to come so hard and so strong. This isn't, you know, especially this song, this flow ain't easy. Like she's using every part of speech on this track. That's it. She is it. Favorite bars for you, Sarita?
I don't know if I have any favorite bars. There's so many joints, but I gotta bring back to like Bodak Yellow just because that is quintessential New York summertime Like, I remember when it dropped, and that's one of the joints you just put on repeat to whatever destination that you can get. If mm-hmm. if you're, like, driving to, like, the corner store on, you know what I'm saying, in, like, East New York, or if you drive into Pittsburgh, you can just, you don't have to change the song. You can actually listen to it all the way. Yeah, I think that joint is just, it's like, why would you do that? You know? Like, why would you do that, Birdie?
You a goofy, you a op. Don't you come around my way. You can't hang around my block. And I just check my account. Turns out I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. I put my hand above my hip. I bet you dip, he dip, she dip. I say, I get the money and go. This shit is hot like a stove. My pussy glitter is gold.
If you had to describe this album, Invasion of Privacy, in three words, what would they be?
Calculated.
Mm.
Vulnerable and authentic.
On point.
Beyonce, I'm in mama knows. I'm the rose that came from the concrete and the rose. I'm like gold, man. I'm toast and I'm floating. Hey.
I told y'all I'm living my best life. I told y'all I said I'm living my best life. I made a couple M's with my best friend. Turned on my L's in the list.
Before we wrap up, we always want to leave our audience members with something else to listen to on their playlist. And I'll start here, and this is at risk of contradicting what I was saying earlier about women MCs always being compared to one another. But nonetheless, when I thought about if people really liked Invasion of Privacy, what they should put on next, you got to take it back to Queen Latifah, 1989, her debut album, All Hail the Queen. And I wouldn't say that that was an album that was slept on, because it was really one of the biggest albums of the year. It had Ladies First, which was an iconic hit of the era. But regardless, I still feel like the original queen of hip hop still doesn't get her propers. And she was so incredibly fierce on her debut, especially one of my all-time favorite tracks from her. Really, just actually one of my all-time favorite golden era tracks, which is Wrath of My Madness.
It's not a fault your thoughts are shrinking, but mine are growing. Yes, you know, like all the women inside of me, despite what you do or say, and even in spite of me, brothers, catch my eye with little hijinks like I was dying to have a lover of my likeness. So release all your shyness, just call me your highness, and dare to feel the wrath of my madness.
Morgan, how about you?
And real quick, I just want to say, I agree with you that she does not get her props, and she absolutely should. One of the biggest joys so far of my career was being able to place Nature of a Sister in Madam C.J. Walker. Nice. I always loved that track and had been looking for a place for it. So shouts to the queen. Yes. I would say if you like this album, I'd take it right back to 1996 and go straight to Lil' Kim's Hardcore. Mm. And there you will find everything that you need, the ice references, the fashion references, the New York swag galore, the affiliations, etc. And I think you'll find that there's a lot of queen bitch in Moneybag. If you mm-hmm. listen to those songs, you'll find a thread that's linear. And there is no Cardi B without Lil' Kim. So I would say start with Moneybag, start with Queen Bitch, and keep going.
She wear Frank kill niggas wise for 1.5. While you struggle and strive, we pick which bins to drive. The mafia, you wanna be them? Most of y'all niggas can't eat without per diem. I'm rich, I'ma stay that bitch.
What was the question again?
What would you recommend if people liked Invasion of Privacy? Oh, what should be the next thing they peep? Yeah.
Damn, you said Kim. I'm like, yo, read Toni Morrison. Nah. 0 to 100.
That's legit. I like that.
No. Yes, absolutely read Toni Morrison. If you're listening to Cardi's Invasion of Privacy, you can just go straight to Megan's Girls in the Hood.
Boom. I like that.
Yeah, call me patty cake, cause the way that ass shake, I'ma make them eat me out while I'm watching anime. Pussy like a wild fox, looking for a Sasuke. One night with them, make them lose it like a prom date. Two watches, yeah, call me two timing. Skin like gold and my teeth like diamonds. Hot girl chain, Elliot, got me shining.
Well, that will do it for this episode of Heat Rocks with our special guest, Sarita Gates. Sarita, what are you working on right now?
Well, before I even tell people what I'm working on, I say thank you. I like to say thank you for you all could have been anywhere in the world, but you're rocking with the best. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. This was fun.
Always thank grateful. So yeah, I'm up at like 10:43. That I'm usually trying to be in the bed, but yeah, I had a good time with y'all. What I'm cooking? Yeah, the Gates Preserve Archive is a real thing. We are committed to archiving people's life and people's work who are out here doing like really brilliant things. And also, we are a hip hop archive. So if you have anything that you think is worthy of archiving, you can hit us up on thegatespreserve.com. Of course, Yo Stay Hungry culinary competition at Bridges Hip Hop with food and beverage. So that's always rocking. Yeah, and we're like cooking some things with, you know, with the Gates Preserve as well. I'm always grateful for the team, for, you know, just saying yes and continuing showing up and do the work. But yeah, we got a lot of things in the mix. All I'm saying is look out for the Gates Preserve, look out for the Gates Preserve archive, look out for Yo Stay Hungry, look out for Most Incredible. We're bringing hip hop with Legos. It's nuts. We have essentially what I'm saying is, if you think about what's missing in hip-hop, we got it for you.
Mm. Oh, I like that. And Sarita, where can people find you on online, on the socials, etc.?
Yeah, just do your Googles. Do your due diligence. Do the Googles. Sarita Gates, S-Y-R-E-E-T-A, Gates, like Bill.
You've been listening to Heat Rocks with me, Oliver Wong, and Morgan Rhodes.
Our theme music is Crown Ones by Thess One of People Under the Stairs. Shout out to Thess for the hookup.
Heat Rocks is produced by myself and Morgan, alongside Christian Duenas, who also edits, engineers, and does the booking for our shows.
Our senior producer is Laura Swisher, and our executive producer is Jesse Thorne.
We are part of the Maximum Fun family, taping every week live in their studios in the Westlake neighborhood of Los Angeles.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.